Many people think that living a holy life consists of reading your Bible every day, praying without ceasing, abstaining from premarital sex, giving to the poor, and all the spiritual practices that you can think of when you hear the word holy. Now, that's not incorrect. However, living a holy life goes far beyond our behaviors alone. In today's video, we'll discuss what it really takes to live a godly life in an evil world, and it might not be what you think, so stay tuned. Welcome to Beloved Women with me, Christina Patterson, where we empower women in the love of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. If you are new here, welcome. Please be sure to subscribe so that you never miss a video. And for those of you returning, welcome back. For daily encouragement, Beloved Bible study series, and unlimited videos to grow your faith, I invite you to join the Beloved Women app. When you hear the word holy, you may start to feel intimidated or think that a holy life is impossible to live in our generation. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not the easiest thing to do. However, we have to realize if God calls us to do something, he will make a way for us to do it. Living godly isn't just for other people to see our good works or so that we can feel good about ourselves. We live holy lives because God called us to live holy lives. And if he called us to do something, we have to understand that God will not call us to do something that we can't do or that he's not going to then give us the power and strength to do with him. In today's scripture, we'll see God's call for us to live holy lives unto him, but also he gives us a blueprint on how to actually do that because he knows the world that we live in, and he's not blind to the struggle. Romans 12 verses 1-2 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." In today's video, we'll look closely at this verse to learn what it really means to be a living sacrifice, the subtle ways culture is impacting your faith without you even knowing it, and why holy living has more to do with this one thing even over your behavior. But first, a little background on today's text. The Apostle Paul is writing to believers in Rome, and much of his writing up until we get to chapter 12, which includes today's verse, is his explaining our desperate need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1 alone outlines the gross depravity and sinfulness of mankind and how far we have fallen from God. Yet when we get to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul appeals, and some verses say he urges believers to live holy lives. Not only that, but to present our bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord. So it's here that we see we are called as believers to live holy lives. No matter how sinful our past, no matter how dark the culture is that we live in, and no matter what we were taught when we were children, God is calling us to live holy as an act of worship to him. And as I said before, God's not going to call us to do something he would not empower us to do. The Apostle Paul uses the term living sacrifice to describe our walking out and living holy lives to God. So you might be wondering, what does that even mean? Because when you think of a sacrifice, you think of something that's dead. You think of something that was killed or given up for a higher purpose. However, using the word living here shows that it's not just about our physical bodies that we're laying down to give up to God, but God wants more. He wants us alive and to live and think for him. He wants our whole being, our life, our heart, our mind, our desires. Now, here's where I want to talk about what I meant when I said living a holy life is not just about your behaviors alone. It is about your behaviors and why you do those behaviors, because it is possible to do all the right things for all the wrong reasons. So when we live as living sacrifices unto God, it's not just laying down what we do. It's laying down why we do it. It's laying down our desires. It's laying down our dreams. It's laying down our wants and trusting God with the internal work of our hearts as well. Now, this is important because we know the scripture tells us that what's happening on the inside of us is what will come through on the outside. So even if for a time we're behaving holy, if our hearts are not holy, eventually the truth will come out. When speaking about false teachers, Jesus tells us that we will know them by their fruit, not by only what they say, but the end result of the seeds that are planted within their hearts when they do come to full maturity, and they will. Then it will be clear and evident their true motivation. So yes, we need the spiritual practices of Bible reading and prayer and fasting and devotional time. But we also need to lay our hearts on the altar of God and let Him change us to truly become the women that He's calling us to be. This is why the Apostle Paul doesn't say to present our body as a living sacrifice by doing this or that. He says to present your body as a living sacrifice by not conforming to the world, but by being transformed by the renewing of our minds. These are internal workings that God is doing within us so that we can then present ourselves as living sacrifices unto God. It's an inside job. It's an inside work that's happening. I'm not saying don't read your Bible. Honestly, I do think our generation needs to focus a little bit more on spiritual practices, but not without the right heart, because we need our actions and our motivations to both be in alignment with God's will to be able to live holy lives in a dark world. What we have to understand is that every single day we are being molded and shaped by many forces that we probably don't even recognize. This is why Paul says in today's scripture not to conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Why do you think he uses two different words here? Why doesn't he say, don't be conformed to the world, but conform to God by the renewing of your mind? Or why doesn't he say, don't be transformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind? It's because there are two separate things happening here. We need to understand the difference between conforming and being transformed. The word conform means to pattern after, to fashion. It means to be similar in rules or standards, or to behave according to socially acceptable standards. The prefix con in the word conform means with. So when you conform to the world, you're essentially just going with the flow of the world. If the world believes this, you believe it too. If the world thinks this, you think that way too. If the world does this, you do it too. Regardless if it aligns with God's word or not, we conform to or easily shape or fashion ourselves with the ways of the world because that is what our flesh naturally does. If we don't go against the world, we will naturally go with the flow of the world. That's how we're wired. That's what it means to be born into sin. That's why not making a decision for God is a decision against God, because you're already headed in the wrong direction. There's no neutral. There's hot or cold. When we're left alone to our own devices, we conform to the world. We don't conform to the ways of God because that's actually counter to our nature as those born into sin. So we can't conform to the ways of God. We have to be transformed into the ways of God and to likeness of Christ. The word transform means to change into another form. The prefix trans in the word transformation means across or beyond. It means you have to do something different. Now, today, we hear the word trans referring to a person, and we're saying that this person has crossed over from one sex or one gender to another. They're completely changed. They're crossing beyond what was to do or be something new. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul is calling Christians to do, to be transworldly, to be transcultural, to be new. Conformity, we can do that on our own, but transformation takes Christ. I remember a time when the Lord was really working on my heart and He revealed some deep sins that were going on internally. The Lord was convicting my heart, but my response was to only focus on my behaviors. So I made a list of all the things that I would do in order to change and committed my willpower to make it happen on my own. Now, willpower can work for certain things, but when it comes to changing your heart and transforming your soul into the likeness of Christ, well, that requires the power of God. It was in that season that the Lord revealed to me His grace. His grace is not just to forgive our sin, but to empower us to do what we can't do on our own, to live transformed lives unto the glory of God, even in a dark world. It's then that our reliance on God and our faith and trust in Him is what empowers us to live holy. It's not our willpower. It's not our list. It's not our shoulda, woulda, couldas. It's Christ alone. Now, you still might be thinking, you know, wait a minute, Christina, that's not fair. I was born into sin. I was born to conform. This is just the way that I am. I can't transform. And I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. This is why Jesus says you must be born again. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are born again in the Spirit, but now with the power to transform. You now have the power to do something new, to cross over from who you once were and to become the woman of God that He's called you to be from the beginning and live the holy life that's against culture, even in a dark world. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The verse says anyone. It means you. God will empower you when you give your life to Christ to do what you've never done before, because that's what it takes to be a living sacrifice. You must die to your old self and become new in Christ. And if you want to learn how to do that, click the link in the description of this video that says an invitation. So once we have the power through salvation to be transformed, how do we actually walk that out? How do we live that out? Well, the scripture, like I told you, is like a blueprint just telling us step by step what to do. It says, by the renewing of our minds. Romans 8 verses 6 and 7 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Your thoughts dictate your actions. Even if you are saved and have the power to live a holy life, you still have to choose to use that power, and you do so with what you're thinking about. Because your theology, what you think about God, your relationship with God directly impacts how you live. What do we need to keep our minds on to live holy lives? Today's scripture tells us the mercies of God. The NIV says, in view of God's mercy, we are then to give ourselves as living sacrifices. As we live for God, our focus is not on what we do, but God's mercy towards us. As we think of His kindness, His goodness, His sacrifice, His love, we are then compelled to live holy. 1 John chapter 4 verse 19 tells us, we love because He first loved us. So we're not living holy to get to God. We're living holy because by the mercy of God, He came and got us. Today's scripture tells us that when our minds are renewed, we can then test and discern God's will so we won't conform to the world. We'll be empowered to live holy because you'll have a mind to know God's will so that you can live it out. And guess what? You'll want to. You'll know which way to go and what things to do, and you won't be deceived by the thinking and the ideas of this world. This is why one of our greatest challenges in this generation is distraction. The enemy wants our thoughts and our minds and our attentions so that we will conform. But if we give our thoughts and our attention to God, we will be transformed to become the women that God has called us to be from the beginning. I don't normally do this at the end of my videos, but I do feel led to pray today. So if you'll pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the power that you give us to change and to be transformed, formed so that we can live holy lives that truly are full of the Spirit, God, and full of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all the things that our souls crave, Father God. Lord, I pray that you continue to empower us and encourage us, Lord, towards holy living through the renewing of our minds, God. Please give us the thoughts to think, God, and the desires to want that are in alignment with your will, Lord. We thank you again, God, for your sacrifice for us as we walk out as living sacrifices for you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if you want to know how you can renew your mind every single day, check out this video where I share 5 practical steps to renewing your mind. And for more encouragement, download my free Bible study called Worry Free to learn the 3 lies feeding your worry and the truth to finally set you free at belovedwomen.org. Thanks so much for watching. And until next time, be beautiful, be blessed, and be loved.